Our scripture today is from the book of Acts. Let's pray. We thank you that you, Lord, have given us your word. Your word to light our way, to help us to move forward, to go to those places that you desire us to go, to change us as you desire us to be changed, always to draw closer to you. We ask you that our hearts, our minds are open to receive this precious gift, to use it for your glory and honor. We also pray for the expounding on the word, that it too is pleasing to you and can be used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you for your light in this moment, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. Hear now God's word. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Accessibility. Be honest, I have a hard time saying this word. I don't know if it's accessibility or accessibility. I think it's accessibility. And so I'll do my best. So I have here a sheet of paper, two actually. A few of you may recognize this, but none of you on Zoom who could probably read it. That's all right. I'll tell you, it is the annual accessibility audit for the United Methodist Church. Trustees have to go through this every year. And what it is it is a full three-page audit of a different list of things that have to be worked on the church in order to make it accessible to as many people as possible. There's all kinds of different things. The ramp has maximum incline of 1 to 12, preferably 1 to 20, with no more than 30 feet between landings. You know, all of these kinds, I don't understand half of these things. But the purpose of this audit, here's another part of the audit here. This is for me and other worship leaders, that a worship leader invites people to rise in body or spirit and to be in an attitude of prayer, or uses similar inclusive language. Now, why is that important? If I say, now everyone please stand, but there's someone here who's not able to stand, I've just excluded them from this particular act of worship. Accessibility, to put it very simply, is the ability to have people have access, for people to be able to come, to be a part, people to enter. This is accessibility. Now, it's funny, I've been a part of a whole lot of churches. I've seen a whole lot of churches over the course of 20 plus years of ministry, 30 years being part of the church with my dad as a pastor. And I have seen a lot of old church buildings. And I've got to tell you that the people who made those church buildings were extremely optimistic people. For none of them ever thought that they would get old. Because no one built those old churches thinking that they're going to get old. I've seen a church that has about 14, 15 steps that lead up to the front door. And as soon as you get up to the front door, you got to go up another 10 or 15 to get into the sanctuary. Whoever designed that never thought their knees would end up going bad. And I don't understand that. And so we have this accessibility audit in order to make things more accessible, easier to enter. But the church has been this way for a long time. Churches aren't always accessible. Let's take for a moment our story, our eunuch today. Eunuchs, according to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, were unable to enter into the social and religious life of Israel. That the Deuteronomic and Levitical laws barred them from being part of the church and part of the social life. They weren't allowed to be priests. Because of their limits, they were banned from many parts of society. We just find that our eunuch in our story, our Ethiopian eunuch, went to Jerusalem in order to worship. If the Levitical and then the Deuteronomic laws were followed in the temple, we know that women and foreigners weren't allowed in a certain part of the temple. And men were allowed closer to the center of the temple, and the priests were allowed even closer to the center of the temple. And the high priest was allowed at the very center of the temple. The eunuch, however, was not allowed in any part of the temple. And so this man who loves God and wanted to go to Jerusalem to worship the God that he loved was more than likely turned away and barred from being a part of the temple. But we see this doesn't discourage him. As he's driving away, with all of his questions possibly, he turns to the Word. And he opens up his scroll to Isaiah. And he's reading Isaiah. And Philip is listening. And Philip asks if he needs any help. And he says, I can't understand it. I need someone to explain it to me. And so Philip talks about Jesus, tells him that who Jesus is, talks about baptism. And I love this scripture. Verse 36, the eunuch, after hearing all that Philip had to teach him, says to him, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? You see, the eunuch has lived a life where many things he was prevented to do because of his limitations. He was prevented from worshiping God in the temple. He was prevented from being part of the society in Israel. He was treated as an outcast. And the interesting thing about this particular phrase is that it pertains not just to the eunuch, but to us. How many times have we been prevented from doing things in our lives? Prevented from having the kind of life we thought we would. Prevented from having a success that we thought that we could have. Prevented from being the kind of parents that we so wanted to be. Prevented from being parents at all. Prevented from living in a particular area. Prevented from getting a particular job. Prevented from keeping that particular job. Prevented from following a dream. Prevented from being loved by someone that we so desired to love us. And some of the things that have prevented us from doing these things, some of them are ourselves and our own decisions. Some of them are things out of our control. And as we see that the church back here in the temple with the eunuch prevented him from being a part of them, so I've also seen churches over the years that have prevented others from being a part of them. I'm not talking just those with limitations, but people not feeling welcome because of who they are, because of what they've done or the decisions that they've made. People that were driven out because they weren't like the people who were in the pews. That the churches on the outside, the buildings, have every look of accessibility. But as soon as you try to enter the door, people are turned away or shunned or ignored. I've heard horror stories of ushers asking people to leave because they look different. I've heard stories of people who have entered with children that have some sort of disability and others ostracizing them because they're too much trouble. How accessible is the church? How much does the church prevent people from being baptized, from being a part of that body? There's good news here. And that good news, of course, is Jesus Christ. The eunuch's question to Philip, "Look, here is water." The Ethiopian eunuch, a foreigner and a eunuch, says to Philip, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And in short, Philip says nothing. Nothing is preventing you. Nothing is keeping you away from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing is preventing you from being a part of the body of God. There is nothing in who you are, what parts of you aren't working, that's keeping you from God's love. This is the gift that Christ Jesus gives to all of us. Ultimate accessibility. And the thing that I love about today is it's the first Sunday of the month. We get to celebrate communion. I've described communion to you a lot. Talked about the story of communion in the Last Supper over and over and over again, and I'll do it again today. As Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he told them that all of you will leave me. But then he said, "But I will meet you after I rise in Galilee." I love this because those who deserted Jesus still offered them a way back. Jesus didn't desert them. Communion is a reminder that Christ has never and will never desert us. And so Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this, remember to me." And likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this, remember to me." You've heard that story before. I want to share with you another one. One that I've shared with you before. One that is very important to our topic today. The United Methodist Church has a policy surrounding communion. That policy is called the open table. So I ask you, who is welcome to take communion? Who? Everyone. Now that everyone means everyone. Children. I love it when children come and take communion. Do they understand what's going on? Maybe not completely. Everyone. Not just believers. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics, if they came into this church, heard my teaching about communion, wanted to come up and partake in communion, I wouldn't stop them. And here's why. John Wesley had a teaching about the grace of Jesus Christ, about the grace of God. That there are three parts to God's grace. Justifying grace. That grace, that love of God that brings us into the knowledge and forgiveness of God. That we are justified before God. Sanctifying grace. The grace that perfects us. That draws us closer to God. That God loves us so much that he desires for us to be closer to God every day. Prevenient grace. That grace that is available to everybody in the entire world. The love of God that allows the sun to rise and set. The love of God that brings rain upon the crops. The love of God that protects people in car accidents. The love of God that shares the love of a mother who sees her newborn child, regardless of belief, religion, any other affiliation. The love of God that beckons and whispers to each person, "You are loved. You are cherished." That if a Buddhist, if an agnostic, if an atheist, if whoever comes down to the table, takes the bread and the juice that has been blessed and prayed for, and the teachings have been shared, and in that moment that they take it, they finally know who Jesus is, then all the better. For Christ can work through so many things. The communion, not being the least. And so, Jesus has done everything he can to make the table accessible to all. And I'm so joyful for that. I'm going to leave you with this final benediction. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And go in peace that you may know the Lord goes with you always. Amen and amen.